The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, where it's finally overcast. Finally, this is the Knapsack Files, and this is a bonus episode. Yeah, it's my weekly time slot. It's a weekly episode. It counts, but it's not a... I'm not numbering it. It doesn't count for an interview because I'm talking to myself here, right? Well, I'm talking to you, but with my... You get what I'm saying here. It's a bonus episode because my recording schedule in general, to pull back the curtain, falls on Tuesday nights. A lot of those interviews and episodes are recorded and released the next morning, 6 a.m. Pacific time. And I just put them live to tape. That's why sometimes you hear mumbles and bumbles and stumbles. I love live, and this show can't be live, but it can be live to tape. So Tuesday night is my recording schedule. In fact, I'm recording this right now on a Tuesday night, but you're listening Wednesday, which means tonight for me is Halloween. It's a holiday. We're all celebrating, right? I guess we are. I never really do celebrate it, but I'm heading over to the girlfriend's house here in a bit. We're going to bundle up. We're going to watch some Stranger Things Season 2. I might sneak in a little bit of World Series action. The game will be an over. The Dodgers will live on or the Astros will win. So boo or yay forever. I'm a Yankee fan watching with half an eye. Anyways, point being, I also couldn't get a guest. I had things to do, so I couldn't record a full episode of, say, the three things or Life Ranked. Also, tough to get a guest on Halloween night. You run through the options, and you're like, I don't even want to ask them. It's a holiday. They're probably having some fun. Trick-or-treating, maybe. I can imagine JT or Jay Washington just trick-or-treating by themselves right now. So here's what I decided to do. And I hope you go along for this adventure. If you hate me for it, I understand. I'm basically making a commercial right now. That's right. It's time for you to hear more about the Knapsack Files Patreon page. Now, I got a Patreon page. It's out there. I think everyone and their cousin does now, too. Remember when Patreon was fresh and new a few years ago? But it is the wave of now. It is still the wave of the future. It is how we content creators can connect more with you guys and be more directly supported. And I am in the, I'd love some independence from, that's all I'll say. So I'm trying to really put a lot more into my Patreon page and the Knapsack Files, as well as a Force Center podcast feed. Some of you might not know I do Force Center, the Star Wars podcast feed with Joseph Scrimshaw and Jennifer Landa. Check that out if you don't happen to know, but I think most of my Knapsack Files listeners do know that. So each month, because if your support at a certain tier level, you get special rewards, right? That's how it works. I draw you in with that. So there's a special monthly Patreon-only show I do. Some of them are Q&A-based, that type of thing. I have Q&A chat sessions as well. I'll go in there, you post something, I'll answer it. We can have a conversation that way. And then every week after my Knapsack Files episodes, I do a show called 5 Extra Minutes, and that goes out to my Patreon supporters, and it is, as I would say, about 5 extra minutes with some guests. And sometimes the interviews go a little bit longer. A couple of them, I think, were just myself because it was an episode of Three Things that week. And you know what? And I'm actually pretty proud of them. I like them because I always spring a question or a topic or something on the guests without any prep. Now, Knapsack Files interviews are the same in the way of I don't give them a list of questions I'm asking. It's a free-form conversation. But, it's an interview. You can generally tell you're coming on the Knapsack Files. You're going to talk about your life, your career. We're going to find some interesting story and themes there. That's comfort. That's if you're in this business, you're kind of used to that. 5 extra minutes. I just toss something else out there. Sometimes it's related to their episode or their interview. I pull something out of it. Otherwise, it's just I know these people well and I have a fun conversation. So I thought I wanted to take a few of my favorites and put them on here on the main feed and just show you what 5 Extra Minutes is about and also just serves as a light reminder, a light form of entertainment, I should say, for you guys in the wake of the troubles in the world. We all know these dark times, these trying times, and life is generally, it doesn't have to be, the world at large doesn't have to be the thing causing you trouble, just life in general, small things could cause you problems, and I love the Knapsack Files that we can get into deep discussions. Sometimes it's just a It's just a simple turn off your mind, relax, and have a fun conversation with people. And I want to be doing more of that in longer form as well. So that's forthcoming as well. So anyways, that's where I'm going with. I picked a few of my favorites, putting up here on the channel. I hope you enjoy them. And if you want to support and get these weekly, you can go to patreon.com/thenapsackfiles and support. There's different support tiers. This one currently is at the $3 a month support tier, but that's going to change and it's going to lower probably to the $2 tier because I got something else cool coming for the other tiers. So with that said, I'm going to present these. And also, for the record, if you're like listening, you're like, is this like one of those charity drives on one of those public radio stations? In a way, but also, don't ever feel like you need to support me because I'm always going to be here. I'm always going to try to produce an Abstract Files podcast. It's always going to try weekly, sometimes more. I had aspirations when I came back broadcasting a full last year to have a couple shows a week. The recording schedules can get hard, especially when you're also doing Force Center and my work at Collider and all that kind of stuff. So, and my daily podcast Anchor on Daily Thrones on Anchor. If you guys aren't checking that out, I don't talk about that. I have a problem with cross promoting. My girlfriend's trying to help me promote myself a little bit better. Sometimes I just feel like either you like me or you don't, but I have a daily Game of Thrones show on an app called Anchor, which also converts to a daily podcast available on Google Play and iTunes. So if you're sometimes I get tweets about, "Ken, I miss you talking about Game of Thrones," or you know, I did it on Throne Talks, Thrones Talk for Collider this last year. I'm still going, and Thrones Talk hopefully comes back in some form soon. Some other Game of Thrones content on Collider Video, but I'm out there with that too. So all that said, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want anyone listening feel the need like, here's some change, Ken, for your laundry. No. I'm trying to build the brand. I'm trying to grow it. I'm trying to get the Knapsack Files out there and be able to do this more and more on my own. That's what this is about. But like I said, I'll be here for you. All you have to do is listen. But right now, here is some very special 5 extra minutes. And because they are individualized, you're going to hear some intros and outros. I'm not going to go through. I just want you to hear them as they were. I took out the intro music so you don't have to hear that every time. But let's do it right now. Let's roll through some 5 extra minutes. All right, Patreon supporters, you're here for 5 extra minutes. This means you, number one, support me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're at a level 3 or above. Seems like I'm in Mindhead from Bowfinger. With me, you've just listened to his return interview on the Knapsack Files. It is the wonderful Mark Yodi Riley.
I'm back.
So
I'm
on five extra minutes, Mark, I asked maybe one or two specific bonus questions.
I love it.
And I got to ask you about the greatest dog in the universe, Cal.
Cal. I could talk 5 extra minutes. How about 5 extra hours? We're talking Cal Boogs here.
More like hours. All right. So this dog is starting his rise to fame. Is starting because he's appearing on the Schmoes No Show where he sits on the couch.
I know.
How has this affected your working relationship and your personal relationship with Cal?
Well, Cal has an attitude now. He's realizing that he is actually an internet celebrity.
Right.
You know, I did one of the fine Schmovillians out there did, and I'm sorry, I do not have your name. I will look it up, but yeah. Did a meme, and yeah. when I saw Cal has a meme, he's sitting next to me on the Schmoes No couch during the Schmoes No Show, and you know, when you want to do doggo things, but the humans are acting weird because Cal's just sitting there looking funny.
Yeah, just sitting there.
It tickles me pink. I know that's an old timey saying, but it tickles me pink.
That
people love Cal and yeah. that they're seeing what I see because he's so mellow. He gets up on the couch yeah. and he just sits there. And that's Cal in a nutshell because
yeah.
after 10 years, that boy has been with me.
I was going to ask you that. 10 years. Huh?
He's 10 years old. He's been with me since day one. I got him maybe 2 yeah. months in
yeah.
From him being born. And so I've been with him for 10 years. He's the most well-behaved dog. He has the greatest personality. I love that dog more than anything.
Now, you travel with Cal because you yeah. drive up from Long Beach sometimes, and you bring him to work maybe once or twice a week, which
yeah.
is too few.
Yeah, I think I'll bring him tomorrow.
I'd love to see Cal tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many conversations have you had with Cal on the road? Because he's, to let you answer in a second, I know a lot of you out there, you haven't had a chance to meet Cal, and it's a shame. More than any other dog, he is, you want to talk to him.
Yeah. There's something about it. He's got that face. He's got this face where you can you can tell him your deepest, darkest secrets, and he'll keep those to the grave.
Yeah.
And he won't say anything.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I sometimes have, it's mostly at home. During the car ride, it's usually like, I'll look in the rear view and I go, you okay back there, buddy?
Yeah.
And he'll just kind of look at me and I go, I love you, buddy. I love you, dog. I love you, Boogie. His nickname is Boogie.
Boogie. So his full name is Kal-El?
His full name is Kal-El, last dog of Krypton.
Okay.
Obviously named after Superman.
Yeah.
He's called the Boogie.
Okay.
He's the Boogie.
Yeah.
Boogeyman. The Boogaronovich. Buddy. The Boogs.
I love the evolution of pet names for pets.
I call it
based off their real names.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll be singing a song about Cal. I have this song that I've been now singing for years whenever I've seen him.
What's a line from the song? Can you sing me a chorus?
He's a Boogie and Jesus Christ. He's a Boogie and I know it because his name is Mr. Boogs. He's a Boogie, a Scooby, a Mr. Scooby-Doo. He's a Boogie and I love him because he is my best friend too. He's the Boogie of the West.
Of the West? Oh, there's one of the East.
Yeah, I know.
And what does Cal do when you're singing to him? Does he just stare at you like he does me when I talk to him about peanut butter?
Yeah, I'll sing. The best is when I'm by myself. It's before Julie comes home. Or if I'm cleaning up or cooking or just doing whatever it is I'm doing. And he's on his couch. Yes, he has his own couch. Yes, he has his own bedroom.
As he should.
The guest bedroom is his bedroom. He has his own bed.
Yeah.
And I'll start singing. And if he's just laying down, he'll just kind of, he does this side glare to me where he's kind of looking at me. Like, what are you doing, man?
Sideways glancing.
And then and my favorite, though, is I'll be singing and it's towards the last bar and he'll be like, and just kind of go back to sleep.
Human.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you human.
Yeah, when Cal's in the office, I mean, the amount of times that Josh McCoog and I spend our work day going, Cal want peanut butter? Cal want the peanut butter? Yeah, I want the peanut butter.
Cal's like, yeah, I would like some peanut butter. Peanut butter's the best. I'd like some food,
I'm
too.
Fascinated by the voices we assign to our dogs. As a bonus to the Patreon subscribers, Josh McCoog has entered the room here. Josh, we're just talking about Cal, the greatest dog in the universe, and...
Oh, hello, I'm Calbert the dog. Now, Josh, I understand you come in, and I love peanut butter, and I know there's peanut butter in the desk, so I'm going to stand here and just wait for the peanut butter. Now, listen, is the spoon edible, too? Because I can eat the spoon if you need me to. That's me, Cal.
Josh McCoog, what do you think it is about Cal that makes him one of the best dogs you've ever met? Because that's what he is for me.
He is he's a bright ray of sunshine in an otherwise cruel and dark world. And if there's one thing about Cal, he just always looks, one, so inquisitive.
Yeah.
Two, so happy. Three, just so concerned about your well-being.
Right. Yeah.
He just wants everybody to be happy around him.
Yeah.
And he's a lover, and he'll hug you.
Yeah.
He'll lick you. He sometimes has bad gas, but all around, when you say man's best friend, there's a picture of Cal.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the definition. There was a one time when you brought him last week on the Schmoes. I'm sitting there in the co-host seat, and Cal and I locked eyes from across the studio, and he didn't take his eyes off me. He just stared at me like, how you doing, office buddy?
Yeah.
I see you every day in the office, and now you're at that chair. I want to make sure you're okay.
That's funny. Cal does that. He'll do that. I'll be sitting at home, and he's on, like I said, he's on his couch, and he'll look at me, and we'll catch eyes, and he won't look away. And it's just like this deep understanding of like, I know.
It's
you're like, oh, okay. There's some deepness there.
Yeah.
Bill Burr has this amazing bit where he went on the road and he came back and his girlfriend got a dog. And he's like, I'm going to hate this dog. And then after 3 days, he became best friends with the dog because he'd be sitting on the couch yelling at the TV and looked at the dog. And the dog would be like, yep, I know what you're yelling at. And that's what Cal is.
That's what
like,
Cal
I looked at Cal.
Is.
I'm like, how you doing, Cal? And he just kind of looks at me and goes, oh, okay. And then he lays back down.
He's the best.
Everything's okay
dog
over here
in the world. So, Mark, thank you for sharing your stories, your song about Cal, and our Cal impersonations. It's the best. I hope Cal's in the office tomorrow. That is it here on Patreon exclusives, the Patreon exclusive show. 5 extra minutes here in the Knapsack Files podcast feed, where we learn just a little bit more about our guests. All right, Patreon supporters, this is 5 extra minutes, a little treat just for you. And we just interviewed on the Knapsack Files the wonderful
actress, stage combat extraordinaire, and painter and dancer, Heather Grace Hancock. Grace, you're here again.
I'm here.
And I have a very important question that we're going to discuss here for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
How is it life as a redhead? Kissed
oh my
by
God.
Fire.
Okay, first of all, I love it. I love being a redhead. Okay. I hated it when I was younger.
Yeah.
I dyed it black.
Oh.
I was a very, very dark black for a very long time. I was also brunette for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I love it now.
Yeah.
It's hard going in the sun. Not going to lie.
I mean, I'm a white Russian. I understand.
It's kind of a daily struggle.
Sure.
Freckles, they're a worry.
Yeah.
Sunscreen, it's a worry.
40 SPF?
No, like 100.
100.
I have 100.
The whole bottle?
I just drink it for breakfast. Yeah. Also, people find it appropriate when you're a redhead to ask you very inappropriate questions.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm sure your imagination can do
that. Scratch that off my list of questions. yeah. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I understand.
Also, all redheads have like a secret connection to one another.
It seems that way.
Right.
Is there like a wink and a nod?
No, like we sense each other. It's literally,
yeah.
I'm not kidding. I swear to God.
You
this
sense
is a real
each
thing.
Other.
You sense each other, like, and you will make eye contact and there's like an acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And I even have it like with children, especially when they haven't seen a lot of other redheads.
Oh, like, they're like learning who they are.
Little kids will look at you and they're like, oh shit, like you look like me. And there's like this moment where
one
I'm like,
us.
Yes, young Padawan, like go into the world. But it's great. I love it now.
So there clearly was a point that you had to own it, and that you did own it.
Correct.
That's interesting. Is that common when you go to the redhead meetings? You all sit around. Is there a point where you're like, at 9 years old, I got made fun of at school because I was the redhead kid, and then, you know, like you said, dye your hair black. Is there a point? Is there a point you think all kids, or is it just you? Why are you looking at me weirdly?
Because I have this mental image of these redhead meetings. I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah, they happen in the back of a Wendy's.
Delicious. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I'm grateful that I'm a female. I feel like male redheads probably have a tougher go of it.
Yeah.
Also, there's also this weird thing, and I kind of feel bad saying this. Redheads tend to be kind of, you can either be like a hot redhead, or you can be kind of like an awkward redhead. There seems to not be much middle ground. I'm sorry. I just think of all the redheads you know and tell me I'm wrong.
I'm running through the list, and you're right.
I'm absolutely right. So it's like an awkward genetic, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel like male redheads tend to get a harder time.
Yeah, no,
there's
even
a documentary about it.
Is there? What's it called?
There is. I don't remember. It's about this kid, though. It's a male ginger, and like there's
I've seen it on Netflix.
Yes,
I haven't watched it yet, but I saw it. Don't give me too much credit. I never swipe right. I moved past.
I don't even know what that means, but I feel like that's a joke that people say.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it's like redheaded women, it's like it's an alluring thing, and men are just kind of like, all right, Opie.
Yeah, which is sad.
Good luck to you.
Which is totally sad. But yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I feel like people are always like, I do hate though, and I've gotten this so many times when guys are like, like redhead feisty, like whoa.
Oh, that's not
whoa.
True.
That's it's not totally true. You can't call me out on it before you know me.
Whoa. Like, whoa.
You can't have this head and not be feisty. I just don't know how it's done.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. When you see some women, I guess imagine men could do it too, but when you see some women go red, you're scowling. You're like, that's not fair.
Bitch.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, you can't pull it off. You can't pull it off. It can look good on you.
Sure.
But I will know.
You'll know.
And all the gingers will know.
All the gingers know.
I mean, you can't pull it off. It's like a whole, it's like a skin tone. It's eyeballs. You understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's an eyelash thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's eyelashes, arm hair,
sure.
Mustaches. It's all these very important things.
Yeah.
But it's also strange. You know, I would not date a male redhead.
Wow.
Because. I would feel oddly, I'm like, everyone's going to think we're brother and sister, and it's creepy. Brunettes, I don't think experience that. Blondes, I don't think they experience that.
That's
redheads, I feel like we experience that. It's
weird.
Fair.
That's
There's
fair.
Too few of us.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, you have to be related.
You can't.
It's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you, children
it's
of the corn?
It's not acceptable.
Out there? What are you doing out there?
I mean, tell me if you saw
you from,
a male and a female.
Arizona?
you bear killing rednecks. Like, if you saw a male and a female redhead holding hands, tell me you wouldn't be grossed out.
I mean,
it's incestuous. I don't know why, but it is.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand. Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. I don't want anyone to send me angry letters, but I understand. I understand. It's absolutely
true. It's
true.
I'm telling you.
All right. Finally, here as we wrap up, we're in the 6 minute here in 5 extra minutes. What you say when you recognize each other? Like, when I grew my ponytail back, you're in a crowd and you see another man with a ponytail that looks just as crappy as yours. Just kind of like a, hey, dude, we both made this poor decision. Good job, you. How many times does this happen? Does this happen daily? Does this happen every time? You give a wink and a nod?
You mean every time I say a redhead?
Yeah, I see a redhead.
Oh, every time.
Really?
But it doesn't happen daily. There's very, very, very few redheads.
Really?
But yeah, but it's like a mental fist bump.
Gotcha. Make it just
it's like
kind
an
of
acknowledgement
kinship.
Of like a fellow badass.
See, where my beard is gray now, it used to be all red.
I could see that.
It was really weird. It freaked me out. It scared me.
Were you afraid of the ginge?
I was. Like, what's happening? Like, why is just my chin red? And it was fire
your chin's
red.
Like, I'm feisty.
Yeah, it was serious. Like, I had a genetic defect in my chin.
No, a lot of guys have red beards.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I looked that up. Get the science. At your next meeting at the back of Wendy's with the sea salt fries.
I'm going to bring this up.
Bring it up. Hey, guys, can we count chin beard guys? Can they be part of the team?
Because you have such pale coloring, so, you know. I mean,
white Russian, yeah.
So it could work.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Grace, you have answered the most important question, and I appreciate your candid answer. I apologize to any redhead out there who is married to another redhead. Please send your letters, care of Grace Hancock.
I will write you a nice apology.
That is it for 5 extra minutes. We'll see you next time. Welcome back here to the Knapsack Files on the Patreon page. This is for Tier 3 or higher supporters. You know the drill. This is 5 extra minutes. You just heard Josh Tapia return to the Knapsack Files to discuss all things about his life and career. But now, Josh, you're here for 5 extra minutes, and I want the important stuff discussed. Let's talk about the best fast food hamburger in town that you believe. I think we should have a shared opinion.
Yes. That's tough.
We recently did a burger challenge on Schmoes.
Yeah, we did.
We both felt that we should have got more right.
Yeah.
We were disappointed in our performance.
I stand by my fact that I order all my cheeseburgers meat, bun, and cheese only.
No, nothing else on.
Nothing. Sometimes I will put a little ketchup, but maybe, depending on the place, a little bit of mayo.
Not even. Oh,
no. Nothing else, man. So when
it's
I was eating those burgers,
yeah,
I was eating the corners. I was trying to not get all the onions,
really?
The lettuce. I was trying to not get all the ketchup and mustard.
But that might have
been. Blocks my taste of the
burger.
But
it might have put you at a disadvantage because, I mean, I won quotation marks around it with a 1.5 point thing. But I think some of that stuff, like Jack in the Box onions, taste like Jack in the Box onions.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, I don't know that though.
Yeah. What's your favorite one?
Oh man, I'm thinking.
I mean,
take Burger King, McDonald's out of there.
You don't like it, or you just
I like
count?
Them. I like them, but they're not like the best.
Right.
I'm trying to think.
What about the Double Del Cheeseburger?
You know what?
The Double Del Cheeseburger is great.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Double Del Cheeseburger is the best. I think that is the best. I was thinking of other ones. Like In-N-Out obviously is great.
So I'm not overwhelmed by underwhelmed.
Wendy's, when I think fast food, Wendy's is up there for me.
See, I haven't had Wendy's a lot, and I got that right on the show only because I knew about the square meat, but I'm not a huge Wendy's guy.
But I got to say, man, that Double Del.
The Double Del.
I think it might be the best. I think it's criminally underrated.
It's underrated. It tastes good. It's very distinct taste.
Yep.
The sauce is great, but yeah, you go there for the tacos, and so it gets buried. You're burying the lead.
I agree with you. The tacos aren't that good there.
I'm a Del Taco guy over a Taco Bell guy, but I mean, 9 times out of 10, if I pull into a Del Taco now, I don't eat fast food as much as I used to. I'll get a Double Del Cheeseburger.
Hands down, I'll get a Double Del Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So honestly, if I'm going there, that's why I'm going there.
Yeah.
They actually have decent carnita tacos when they do have them.
Sure.
But they're only seasonal.
Seasonal.
Yeah, they don't have carnita tacos all the time. But if they do have them,
come on, Del Taco.
Good.
Get that going.
Yeah,
there.
Why? I always said
what's your thoughts on the Jumbo Jack?
No, I don't like Jack in the Box.
At all?
It's crap in a box.
I love Jack in the Box.
No,
but
what?
Yeah, but over time.
I feel like I'm going to die every time I after half an hour later.
There's some truth to that.
Half an hour later, I feel like I'm going to die if I eat anything from there.
Yeah, when I was eating fast food a lot, Del Taco and Jack in the Box were my top two choices. And
oh, wow.
I'd get the Jumbo Jack. I'd call it the best value in the fast food mm-hmm. hamburger world because it'd be like $1.95, some okay. that range, and you get a full burger. But yeah, you're right. I stopped, and then when I went back one day, after months and months, almost a year not mm-hmm. eating it, I went back, and it just it didn't. Sit well.
I'm feeling sick right now. Just thinking
yeah.
about
I mean, I'm not just talking physically sit yeah. well. Emotionally, it didn't sit
oh,
well.
Oh, see, physically for me.
Well, that too.
Okay.
That too, to be clear.
Well, let me ask you this. What's yeah. your favorite cheeseburger not in a fast food place? Like, is there a certain place you go to for a cheeseburger? Where you're just like,
you know,
that's
yeah,
a good cheeseburger.
I'll head to Red Robin.
Okay.
The gourmet burger house there. Red Robin. I was a big Red Robin fan when I worked mm-hmm. at the mall because we had one there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff in there.
Interesting.
I like an egg on a cheeseburger.
Oh, you do? You're one of those guys.
Yeah, I'll do an egg.
I don't like eggs, period, so I don't even mess
it's with hard.
It.
It's a messy burger.
Yeah. You know what? I like islands. You have one right across
here. We got one right across here from Collider, and I do like that. I do like that.
Islands is pretty good.
But you know what I don't like about Islands is you have to order that bag of fries separate.
Well, no, you order. Oh, does it not include?
I don't know if I don't. Every time I go, it's like I have to get a.
But they're endless.
Yeah, I know. But so's Red Robin.
That's true. You know what? Red Robin has better fries than Islands.
They got those big steak fries.
I love steak fries.
Yeah.
Steak fries over regular fries all day, every day.
Best fries in the fast food world? Is it McDonald's?
Fast food, yeah.
I still think it's McDonald's.
Burger King tried so hard. They came out with so many different versions of their fries. I don't like Wendy's fries sometimes. For some reason, it has a weird
They got the sea salt on there a lot
now. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's it. But yeah, McDonald's, it's hard to beat that.
It's hard to beat. If the McDonald's is treating it right. Sometimes you get those old stale
ones,
fries.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, come on,
right,
man.
When they're fresh and they're hot and they're coming out piping hot.
It's pretty unbeatable.
It's the best. I'm hungry just doing this now here. I think we have to do a contest again on Schmoes. Even though I won, I feel cheated. I feel you and I and Roka could have done better. Strifler, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, he looked like he never ate a hamburger in his life.
And he's an East Coast guy, and there's a lot of things on the West Coast that they don't have.
If it was like pizza slices or something, he probably would have won.
Yeah, what else could you be good at guessing?
Oh, man, let's see. I don't know. That's tough. French fries would be kind of interesting.
French fries would be good.
We had Burger King, Wendy's. I think I'd be able, for the most part, pick those apart.
And pizza might be good, too.
Pizza might be
good. You can definitely, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's. You could tell the difference.
True.
Keep it to the chains.
I feel like I would know Pizza Hut the second I bit into it.
Too greasy.
I ate it most of my life. It's the most doughy. And I like that.
You like that?
I
like the new revamped Domino's.
See, I don't like Domino's.
The spinach and feta cheese pizza is great.
I've not had that.
It's good stuff. Give it a try.
What else would we throw in there? Like some Big Mamas?
Big Mamas and Big Papas, which is, I think it's just local to LA, right?
Screw it. Let's throw it in there.
Well, we're doing it here. We'll figure it out. Love it. Oh, JT, you're a master of food.
I try.
You have some weird tastes. I've witnessed you really don't like certain things. You stick to it. You and Ellis stick to some things.
I'm very meat and potatoes kind of guy.
Yeah.
Steak and potato, and I'm pretty much done.
Happy guy. $20 steaks at Chili's.
Is Ellis pretty picky too?
Mark Ellis from Schmoes is very, very particular what
now,
he eats.
Now, who's more picky? The person who just wants meat, bun, and cheese,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty plain. Call it plain.
Right.
Or is the person who wants onion, tomatoes, lettuce, ketchup, mustard, pickles, is that the more picky person?
That's a deep philosophical question you're raising.
Yep.
But I think I got to say it's the plain person.
Why is that picky? We want less stuff. We're like, just give us the normal.
Look, I can do it here. I think I've talked about this place before, but like if I go to like Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
And I get a Dodger dog.
Okay.
I won't put anything on it.
There you go. That's
because
perfect.
I just like it plain. I love a good hot dog with a lot of stuff on it.
But
for the crowd control, it's crowded. The condiment line is crowded. I just go plain. I head back to my seat happy. So I can live that life.
It doesn't matter where I am. If I get a hot dog, I want bun, the hot dog, and ketchup, and that's it.
I can respect that. JT is a simple, direct man with simple, direct tastes. And that is, thank you for coming on 5 Extra Minutes. Follow JT at JT Movie Thinks on Twitter and YouTube for all of his thoughts on movies and maybe one day food. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you for the support here on Patreon. Welcome back to the Knapsack Files here on Patreon. It's time to spend 5 Extra Minutes with Michelle Boy.
Hey, Patreon, what's up?
Hey, so we just talked a lot about Game of Thrones, season 7, looking forward to season 8. You and I have a lot of thoughts on that.
What are you talking about? I haven't thought about it at all.
No, not at all. No. So a couple questions from my folks on Patreon I wanted to ask and see if we could dive into. Now, first,
fire away.
Lisa, my friend Lisa says, talk about how they screwed up Peter Baelish's storyline. We talked a lot about that in the main issue, but she's still bitter. Could you give her any words of advice to accept this maybe not be as bitter?
Not be as bitter about Peter Baelish's storyline. I mean, look, I've always liked how he was behind the scenes and he, you know, even the stuff with Varys, and he always kind of was out for himself versus Varys being for the realm, which, you know, is not great in a character, but I can also appreciate in a character as a story point. So I think for him to kind of now be reduced to just simply following behind Sansa and not kind of going back to his goal of sitting the Iron Throne was a little bit of a letdown. And I think it was a very big misstep on his part to not just get the F out of Winterfell the moment Bran came through those doors in a little, you know, whipped up wheelchair.
The moment Bran says the chaos is the ladder,
he should have booked his ass back to the Vale.
Pack up and leave.
Because there's just no way. You don't take on Dr. Bran Hatton and a little faceless woman Arya. It's just don't do it.
Totally
don't come between
that.
The Stark children.
That's good. All right. I think you've helped her a little bit.
Yeah.
Graham Bell says, I'd love to hear
Alexander
Graham Bell. Would love to hear our thoughts on Arya taking Jaime Lannister's face once he dies and then killing Cersei as Jaime. So let's go into a little bit of the weird Valonqar prophecy. Do you think that's a possibility? Could you even, the look on your face says you're doubting it.
I don't like it. Is
you don't
the problem.
Like, why don't
well,
you like it?
Well, here's the thing, and everyone plays, and it's a very easy game to play because once the concept of Arya taking a face is introduced, it's fun to think about her taking any kind of face. But in order for her to do that, you then subvert all of the fun and the really important character moments of that actual character that have been built up over 7 or 8 seasons at that point. Like, if she took Jaime's face and killed Cersei, you wouldn't get nearly the kind of pathos that you would get if it was actually Jaime killing Cersei. Like, yeah, Arya has a bit of a bone to pick with Cersei. Yeah. She's behind, you know, a lot of pain that's and suffering and everything. But for the little brother, lover, father of the children to kill Cersei, like, that is just so much more powerful of a moment to me. And if I don't get that, I'm gonna be mad.
I agree with that. I agree that I want it to be Jaime straight up. I think Arya has other things to do more than kill Cersei, though she's high on her list. So I get her maybe being involved in the storyline, but I think.
But here's the thing too, and just
Jaime's.
And I know these are quick, but just a quick moment. You know, I think the fact that she chose Winterfell over going to King's Landing and not killing Cersei, I think that basically means she was giving up on that part of her list.
Give up the list.
Maybe it's a little bit in the back of her mind, and I'm sure she's not going to cry tears if Cersei dies. But I think that sort of closed the book on her going down and killing Cersei. I think she chose her family, chose Winterfell, chose the Northern life.
I think that's good insight.
I think so.
All right. Ulrich Stovetlin, one of my loyal supporters here, is what would be the worst possible ending of season 8?
Hi, Eric.
And therefore Ulrich, not Eric, Ulrich.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Eric Ulrich.
Ulrich
von Lichtenstein.
Stovetlin, yeah. Personally, he would be pretty disappointed if it turned out it was all just a dream and that Bran never actually woke up after Jaime pushed him down the tower. And even it turns out that ending isn't as good, as poorly thought as that. Can there be anything such as a satisfying ending to the series? So what would be your worst possible?
My worst possible ending is the Night King being stabbed in the heart by Jon, him marrying Dany, and them living on the throne and living happily ever after. I would hate that. It would be such a subversion of everything that George Martin has built. Yeah. I would hate it. It would be like Disney circa 1952 taking over the story and moving forward. I think it would be awful.
I agree with that. I absolutely think you're right. I don't want a happy ending. George has promised a bittersweet ending. I want that. I want a bittersweet ending. I want to cry and go, I'm satisfied, but man, I wish that person was there and this had happened. And if it's anything like a time-traveling brand dream, I'd be disappointed.
What if, like, everyone dies except for Lyanna Mormont? That's it. Everyone is dead.
There could be
everyone.
There could be worse endings than that, but I'd be disappointed.
You know?
I think
that would be okay.
Yeah, or it's a white Hodor. He's just mumbling Hodor.
By the way, so sad that they didn't bring him back in that battle north of the wall. If you want to add some pathos that battle.
Look, he's a white, right?
Although, I mean, because he died north of the wall.
Yeah, I mean, he died being killed by whites.
He should be in there.
In the presence of the Night King, I have no doubt that he is going to emerge. I don't know if we'll see him on the show, but maybe in the book. I imagine we'll see him again.
And where were the zombie giants?
Yeah.
Where were they?
Being held back.
I mean.
Being held back. Holding those chains. All right, guys. That's five. Oh, wait. My bonus question I was going to ask you.
Yes, there's a secret bonus question.
Clegane Ball. Should we still get hyped?
Oh my God, I'm so hyped. I have a shirt. I have everything. I want
it. You ready for it?
I want it. Although my shirt doesn't apply anymore because it has the wrong helmet now. But yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've all but promised it at this point. And again, I do kind of feel like this is a bit of fan service, but they also hinted at it in the book, so maybe not so much. But I think it is fan service. I think we're absolutely going to get it. I mean, the Hound all but said we were, because he now apparently with his newborn gift of prophecy, Lord of Light,
he's like a red priest.
Right? Why not? Said, you know what's coming for you.
Yeah.
And I, at this point, don't feel like the showrunners have the type of subtlety to intimate that means anything other than the Hound is going to come back and kill him.
I agree.
Or at least fight.
But I'm hyped.
I'm so hyped.
I'm so hyped. I thought I gave up the dream of Clegane Ball.
I never gave up on the dream.
You never gave it up.
Never gave up on the dream.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Well, that is five or so extra minutes with Michelle Boyd about Game of Thrones Season 7. Thanks so much. You can follow Michelle at Michelle Boyd. And that's with one L. And don't forget, she has her new Twitch page, right? Twitch. I'm saying like an old man.
Twitch page.
Twitch page. What you playing with your Twitches?
Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Michelle Boyd. Thank you so much, Patreons. Go watch, subscribe, watch me play games, and basically talk Game of Thrones the entire time.
There you go. Do all the things. All right. We'll see you guys next time on 5 Extra Minutes. Welcome back to the Knapsack Files here on Patreon. As we like to do each week when we bring in a guest, we do 5 extra minutes, and this is available for you Tier 3 supporters or higher, unless it's a special month like Alicia Malone last week. I wanted you guys all to get an opportunity to hear what she had to say, and I had a slow July. I have to admit, I was moving, couldn't record for 3 weeks. I felt bad, but we're back. 5 extra minutes, and you just heard Owen Mugen, producer, newsman, father, New Yorker, out here in LA, 11 years, but he misses it already. So, Owen, we have 5 extra minutes, and I really, really want to get into New York food versus LA food.
Oh, all right.
This is more than just pizza.
Yes.
There is a different attitude towards food out there in New York, I believe.
I believe as well. And I will say at the outset, I've noticed quite a change in LA food in the 11 years I've been here.
How so?
I'm going to baseline this.
Do it.
Because pizza is usually the baseline.
Everyone goes to pizza.
Right.
And I've had New York pizza, and guess what? I loved it. But I've had some good California pizza,
absolutely,
too.
And the thing that the metric I use is Mexican food.
Yes.
Okay? So I grew up in New York.
Talking my language.
Yep. And I grew up on what was Tex-Mex garbage.
Right.
You know, and, you know, filtered through a dirty sock, essentially. And it wasn't until I moved out here where I began to understand the depth and breadth of what Mexican food really is. And, of course, you know, the culture is so firmly in place here in SoCal. And it's like, what do you mean a fish taco? I'm not gonna have a fish taco. Fish what are you, crazy? Oh, my God, I'm coming for the fish taco.
I'm from Greenwich Village.
Give me that fish taco. And so as far as the Mexican food, a revelation.
Yeah.
A true revelation, you know, for me.
Yeah.
And that to me was the sort of the gateway drug to different types of food. You know, being on the Pacific Rim here, you know, Thai food.
Thai revelation. Food,
you know, Japanese food. One thing I'll tell you, I'm disappointed about this, is the Chinese food. Now,
out here?
Okay, I live in Los Feliz.
You're not the first to say New York is better.
And I'm not going to necessarily say that. I try not to carry that.
I'm not going to make
terribly superior attitude.
We're not making a coast versus coast thing.
Right. But what I did notice is like I'd never even heard of Kung Pao chicken before.
Right, right.
So it's like what is that? You know, it's like chow mein was invented in Chicago for crying out loud. It doesn't have any real, you know, Chinese roots to it. My best friend and godfather of my son Keith is from Hong Kong, and he's like, well, just drive to Alhambra. You get some great. I'm not driving to Alhambra. I'm not driving anywhere for Chinese food, because that's part, again, my problem. I'm wired to walk to get walk. Chinese food and whatever.
But Alhambra, for people not in this, Las Vegas to Alhambra is not a quick jaunt.
But right. Yeah. And I have gone out there and it is wonderful. But in general, this whole craft and gastropub thing, this whole world, mm-hmm. which sort of has unfolded itself over the past number of years, you know, like L.A., it's a food town now.
It is.
You know, it's like there's a place not far from me in Los Feliz, you know, that they throw up this crazy spicy chicken stand in a driveway, you know, and it's like, it's really yummy. And there's a really cool attitude toward food and toward, you know, and that goes with beer and all that. I'm definitely down with what LA is.
So you're okay with it? Because the food truck craze is good?
It's fantastic.
It's good stuff.
I put 25 pounds on, like, in my first year from the food trucks. You know, I was like, what do you mean? Explain to me what a breakfast burrito actually, wait, so there's a hash brown in here?
So, well, exactly. What's going on?
This is fantastic.
But in New York, what's your favorite thing to go to out there?
I'll tell you, I love to get a nice cheeseburger from my local.
Yeah. You know,
and because there's atmosphere as much as anything else.
It's local. I'm jealous of that. Yeah. When we're out there with Collider and Complex, you know, Perry Nemiroff, who spent her whole life out there, was like, oh, we got to go to my deli. We got to go to my deli. Right. And we couldn't get out there, but I was so curious. So I was like, I love that kind of feeling.
Right.
You know, of my place.
Well, that's a great thing. You know, we have some of that in Los Feliz also.
I got Timmy Nolan's Pub in Tubal Lake I used to go to all the time.
Oh, my friend does a session there. My friend plays pipes.
Pipes,
But it's like either going to the local and get a burger or go to a place like Katz's Deli, which is like a famous place. But you know what? I'll go in there. I'll get a delicious Frank, you know, and it'll snap in my mouth and drink a Doc Brown's, you know, cherry soda, that kind of stuff.
Love it.
For me, what I love to be able to do is to walk down the street and just duck into some place.
Yeah.
And this is what that sort of goes hand in glove with the New York life experience, which is you find all these places on foot.
Yeah.
And that to me is very much part and parcel to the eating experience.
I had a 1 a.m. steak with Harloff and Perry and one of Harloff's childhood friends.
Right.
In New York.
And, that's right. He's from the East Coast, Christian.
He is a New Yorker. Yeah, absolutely.
Or
and
Queens, maybe. That's right.
Yeah, I think it's Queens.
He's a Mets fan, if I remember correctly.
Yankee fan like me.
Sorry, Christian. Sorry, everybody.
A Giants fan. Right. So I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. Don't even get me started. there was something special. Like, I can just 24-hour places out here. There's all this thing, but it was like a fully functional steakhouse at 1 a.m.
Right.
It's like, this is a vibe I can get.
Right. I will tell you a place that I'm developing a real affinity for, and for the food and the drink, is Musso and Frank.
Okay.
And, you know, which is, if you guys at home don't know Musso and Frank, look it up.
Yeah.
1919. It's you've got guys in, you know, red jackets and ties working there for 30, 40 years, and you can sit at the bar and have a martini, but you can also have, like, you know, steak Diane, or like, you know, crazy World War II food, you know. and it's sort of a lost art, or it's a dying art.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the hell out of that.
I love a good history in my steak.
Oh, without a doubt. Without
Absolutely.
A doubt. Yeah.
Well, I think you had a great even-handed approach to this controversial topic about food in New York.
It could have flown off the rails.
Versus food in L.A. You know, I've heard the pizza thing. I've heard it, and I finally had it. And it was good. But we also went to a bad one. And Harloff, he's like, let's go. Then we went in and we were all like this. He's like, it's a bad one. We're like, well, I thought it was all perfect.
Exactly. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Enough of your lies. Enough of your pizza lies.
My hometown place called Klondike Pizza, it was a different – I would take that over this.
And that's right.
I ended up having some good stuff.
I did learn over time to you know, not be a tool about it.
Not to be a snob.
Right. Exactly.
Not to be East Coast or West Coast. Now.
Right. And to sometimes, you know, keep it to myself.
It's all good. Well, Owen, thanks so much
for coming on in.
I appreciate it. More soon. And you can find Owen on Twitter at Owen Moogan, M-O-O-G-A-N, and talk about food with him. Use the hashtag the Knapsack Files if you want to do that. Yeah. So
you pretty much just see, like, pictures of the Enterprise or Indiana Jones, you know, or history stuff.
These are the things. Thanks for the support here on Patreon, guys. I appreciate it. We'll see you next time. Well, there you have it, a little sample of what we do over on the Patreon page with 5 extra minutes. I love doing it. I love just BSing on air. I love just having some fun, talking about things. I love getting deep. I love finding the big themes in life, but I also just love talking.
person to person about life, the universe, and everything. That's what this channel is about. So that is that. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/thenapsokfiles. And also, we are now available on Google Play Music, allegedly. All right, I finally got in there, fixed my RSS feed, which was comes out from Podomatic, and got it on. We're there. I got the email notification. I am on Google Play Music. I, for the life of me, can't find it. I'm so old. It's getting to that point. I can't find another. But if you are an Android user and you're listening through Google Play Music, please let me know that it's working okay for you. We're still on Stitcher. And I also can announce that the Knapsack Files is available on the TuneIn app, which you can also listen to from your desktop. A lot of different places. A lot of great podcasts on there. So we are now on there. A lot of places to listen to the Knapsack Files as we move into 2018 and aim for bigger and better things. I'm so glad you guys are along for the ride. We'll see you next time. Bye.